Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so happy to have you join us for Pentecost Sunday. Our music this morning is being led by Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovesan, Paul Stevenson, and our music director, Stephen Hollowitz. The service of the word is being led by myself, Hannah Scora, along with our rector, Keith Nethery. And as ever, we have our sound engineer, John Gardy, with us. Please check out our website and our Facebook page, like it, visit it often, and see our videos for our Sunday school services as well. And now, I would invite you to take a moment, take a deep breath, and prepare yourselves for worship.
Breathe into our weary kingdom night. Almighty and ever-living God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, keep us in the unity of your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord.
Your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. Your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please Him. I will rejoice in the Lord.
The Gospel according to John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember what I told you about them. I do not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Yes, it is again Pentecost. Well, what does that mean? What do you think Pentecost is? We heard in the Acts of the Apostles a rush of violent wind, tongues of fire, people speaking passionately in languages that other people understood, even though they didn't understand that language. Is that what Pentecost is to you? Is that what you think about when we talk about Pentecost? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit came and dwelt among us? As Jesus was very clear in his last days on earth, when I leave, I will send the Counselor. I will send the Spirit. I will send the Paraclete. Whatever term you want to use, God promised us a communications vehicle. As Jesus left, the Spirit of God would be there to connect us. For many years, I've gone along with all kinds of different things to celebrate Pentecost. Some like to say Pentecost Sunday is the beginning of the church. The birthday of the church, and we've had cake and candles and all those great things. That's wonderful. As long as we don't do that to put a final meaning to it all. This Sunday and next are the two Sundays that clergy always say are the hardest to preach on. But they may well be the most important for us to preach on. Except for it takes a lot of courage. I've been doing this for 26 years, so I'm willing to take a few risks along the way and say some things that might come back to haunt me, and I'll probably do that before this homily is out. That's absolutely fine, because What these two Sundays tell us, the stories, the scriptures, the meaning of these two Sundays are that we don't understand God. And that's okay. We don't get the opportunity to put God in a little box and say, we know it all now, we don't have to learn anymore. The purpose of the Holy Spirit being poured on out upon us, the purpose of the Holy Spirit being imparted to us in baptism and increased and released in confirmation, all of that is to show us that this is a journey, that we're never done, that we always have to learn and see more and understand. When you've told the story 2,000 times of the first Pentecost, the day that the Spirit came, it loses that newness. It becomes ho-hum, yeah, that one where they all talked at the same time, and yeah, they had something called tongues of fire. Who cares what that's all about? Can we go back to the birthday party thing? I understand that one much better. Is this a fresh understanding of what the Spirit means in your life? See, I had one of those wonderful wake-up calls this week, reading a book by Richard Rohr, Roman Catholic writer. It's not about the Holy Spirit or anything like that, but it's called Everything Belongs. And on Tuesday, I think it was, the part I read was about body, soul, and spirit. And Rohr says, humans, like the divine, are tripartite. Three elements. What? Now, I'm sure somewhere in a seminary class, maybe I was sleeping that day, and probably in some of the books that I've read since, I've heard other people talk about the difference between soul and spirit in humans. But as Richard Rohr said, and I think I would probably agree from what I can remember in recent times, that most people think that soul and spirit are the same. He wants to suggest that they are very different. In general terms, what he suggested is that our spirit is more about God and our soul is more about us, but there is a connection between soul and spirit and body as there is between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I hope that mystifies you. I hope that makes you go, huh? How do I figure that all out? What could that possibly mean to me? Now, next week, Hannah has the joy of preaching on Trinity Sunday, the day that clergy will tell you it doesn't matter who you are or what you say, you are a heretic because none of us understands the Holy Trinity except for the Holy Trinity. That doesn't mean we shouldn't think about it. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask what role and what place the paraclete, the counselor, the guide, the spirit takes in the Trinity, along with God the Father and God the Son. Just like today means that we should think about what the Holy Spirit means to us. So when you pray, do you expect the Holy Spirit to answer you? Have you ever been sitting and heard that still small voice that says, I want you to pay attention to this? Have you ever had that uncomfortable shiver feeling go up the back of your neck? Have you ever been walking through a park and see something in nature like a rainbow or a wind twister or something that catches your eyes and you go, wow? That's the kinds of things that I'm talking about. And it's the kinds of things that I think, in many ways, the church has lost. We have come to be a group that wants to take the sure things, the things that we know and understand, and repeat, 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 because it's easy. I want to wake up in the morning, go to work, have a good day, come home, do what I want to do, go to bed, and repeat. And you all know that doesn't work. Because, yeah, you have a good day one day, next day somebody yells at you, the day after something breaks, the day after that everything goes absolutely nuts. One day it's good at work and you go home and nobody's happy with you, and the next day you go to work, nobody's happy with you there, but everybody loves you when you get home. The question we have to ask, and I'll give you a hint here, it's a question that doesn't have an answer. Or if it does have an answer, the answer is five more questions. What does this all mean? I tried to read that passage from the Acts of the Apostles with as much passion as I could muster, wanting to show excitement, wanting you to get excited about what the Holy Spirit means in your life, how it intersects with you, how it connects. Because that's what I think God wants us to do on this day. That's what I think God wants us to do on every day. Not to just say, I know this, I'm going to hang on to this, but be willing to say, wow! When something jumps out at you that you've never understood about God before. Not to be afraid of it, not to hide from it, but to say, what are you showing me now, God? What am I supposed to do with this? How do I process it? And the neat thing about Pentecost, as I alluded to before, by the time you get done processing the Holy Spirit and come back to listen to the next week's service, then you have to try and process the Holy Trinity. I don't think God ever wants us to be comfortable. I don't think God wants us to ever stop learning. I think God shows God's self to us anew every day of our life. And there are so many days that I'm far too busy worrying about this, doing that, trying to get what I want, that I forget to take notice. But Pentecost is a good day to remember that God's patient, that God loves us even when we don't pay attention. And when we miss the point, God shows us again. So you have a chance today. I hope you'll take it. When this service is over, maybe later today, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe during the middle of the week, sometime, stop and think. Take 5 minutes out of your life and ask yourself, what does the Holy Spirit mean to me? What is Pentecost? Amen.
Ceaseless voice of prayer, with
the power to love and witness, with a peace beyond compare. Come, Holy Spirit,
I would invite you to join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now I would invite you to find a position of prayer most expedient for you as we pray to God the Holy Spirit, saying, Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, Creator, and renew the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, Counselor, and touch our lips that we may proclaim your word. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, power from on high, make us agents of peace and ministers of wholeness. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, breath of God, give life to the dry bones of this exiled age and make us a living people, holy and free. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, wisdom and truth, strengthen us in the risk of faith. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be among with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Send down the fire of your justice. Send down the rains of your love. Come, send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and make us the people of God. Call us to be your compassion. Teach us the song of your hearts that sing, give us deeds that ring, make us ring with the song of your love. Send down the fire of your justice, send down the rains of your love. Come, send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and make us the people. Shining bright, ever shine with the presence of Christ.
Christ, send down the fire of your justice, send down the rains of your love, come send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and make us the people of God.
Let us go in peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.